If you're taking notes this morning, and you should be, we are continuing this morning with lesson two of our faith series, Be Strong and Courageous. Lesson the series rather is Be Strong and Courageous. I have entitled this morning's message, A Scarlet Cord of Redeeming Faith. A Scarlet Cord of Redeeming Faith. This morning's scripture for the message today is going to be taken from Joshua chapter 2. That's Joshua chapter 2. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 and hold it, then you'll be set for this morning's message, and we'll be there in just a moment. Next week, lesson three will be faith to step in. Faith to step in. The scripture reading will be Joshua chapter 3 through Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. Again, the scripture reading for next week is going to be Joshua chapter 3 through Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. And I would encourage you, church, to read the text, because what you'll find is if you prepare and I prepare, we'll get more out of it. Well, I will assure you that I'm going to be prepared. And I would encourage you to be prepared, because you owe it to yourself. So please, read the text in advance, particularly when we're doing series like this. It would do you good. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we're ever so grateful for this day. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, you've been real good to us, way better to us than we've been to ourselves. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. We don't take for granted, Lord, the opportunity to come and draw near to you, to encourage each other, to hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering, to spur one another on, Lord, in love and in good deeds. Lord, I just pray this morning as we move into the preaching portion of our worship, Lord, that you would bless me to get out of the way, that the church might hear directly from you. Lord, I just pray that this worship service is acceptable to you. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter 2, church, verses 1 through 14, Israel is preparing to enter the land of Canaan. You remember from last week, the Lord has prepared Joshua, excuse me, for leading the people into the promised land, telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. Why, Brother Red? Because he, God, is with him. He will never leave him and never forsake him. In preparation for entering the land, Joshua, church, sends two men to spy the land, in particular, the town of Jericho. So they go to Jericho and they stay in the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. Now, Heartland, it's important that we slow down for a moment and recognize who Rahab is, and not try, Sister Body, to sanitize her as a righteous person, because she is not. She's a prostitute. She sells her body to men. Now, we may wonder why these two men would pick her house as a place for staying. Well, first, it would be really a wise place to hide, because strangers from around the area would be regularly, Brother Scott, entering this woman's house. So nothing would appear out of the ordinary for two strangers to enter her house. Second, most scholars do not think we should read her house as a brothel. And the reason why this, I would say this, is rather than read her house as a brothel, her house is more likely to be a tavern or a hostel, a place providing food and rest for this town, where also sexual services were offered. Therefore, staying in the house did not necessarily mean that you were there for prostitution. But it was known, Brother Scott, that such could be found there. Visitors came in and out of this house, of course, for a number of reasons. So, church, with that in mind, when the king of Jericho learned that these men of Israel have come to investigate the land, he immediately informs Rahab, because strangers would certainly stay in her home as an inn or a hostel. Now, church, think about this situation. These spies are doomed. It's not good, Brother Theron, to be a spy if the town you're spying on knows you're there. However, Rahab does something, church, that's shocking. Rather than turning these men over to the authorities of the town, she took the two men and hid them. Not only this, she tells the authorities that the men already went out of town, and if they hurry, they can catch these men. Church, we're left puzzled for the moment. Why would Rahab not turn these men over to the authorities? Why would she hide these spies? Why would she send the pursuers of the spies, on a wild goose chase? Sister Annie, oh, she could have been the hero of the town for exposing these men and turning them over to the authorities. But she protects these men instead. Why? Why did she do it? Church, verse 8 through 11 tells us the reason why she did all of this. In your Bibles, read along with me. Just listen carefully, starting at verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. In verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man. Why, Rahab? Because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Church, listen. Rahab knows that the Lord has given this land to Israel, and all the people are afraid. How does she know this? She knows this because they heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt. Heartland, they had heard and remembered what had happened 40 years earlier. Further, they heard about how they destroyed the two kings in battle on the east side of the Jordan River. God has melted the hearts of the inhabitants through the victories over these nations. They heard about the God of Israel, and they were afraid of the God of Israel. Listen to Rahab's confession in verse 11. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Church, the motivation behind Rahab's action is that she knows these men, listen, are sent by God. This means that she knew exactly why these two men had come and why she had protected them. Heartland, this is why she lies about the situation. So people really get stuck on Rahab lying, especially when the writer of Hebrews speaks of her faith, for giving a friendly welcome to the spies. But, church, listen, she didn't lie for mere selfish purposes. She realized, church, that these men were carrying out, Brother Scott, God's will. And so she acted to preserve their lives just as the Hebrew midwives acted to preserve the Hebrew babies in Egypt, in Egypt's Exodus, in Israel's Exodus, rather. And they did that because they feared God more than they feared the Egyptian Pharaoh. Now, Rahab makes a request of the spies in verses 12 and 13. She said, because I have dealt kindly with you, please deal kindly with myself and my family. Deliver our lives from death. Church, the spies respond that if she does not report to the town about their mission, they, when the Lord gives them the land, they will kindly and faithfully deal with her. In verses 15 through 24, in verse 15, Rahab now assists in the spies' escape. Her home was built on the city wall so she could let these men out the window. She tells the men to hide in the hills for 3 days until their pursuers give up. The men confirm their oath to her and her family, but they also give some conditions to her for her deliverance. First, in Joshua 2:18, they said, tie this scarlet cord in the window, so when they come into the land, that's what we want you to do. Rahab was instructed to hang the scarlet cord from her window to mark her home ensuring the safety of her and her family during the Israelite destruction of Jericho. Church, listen, the cord was a covenant sign. It signaled to the Israelite soldiers which house to avoid, protecting everybody inside that house. It demonstrated Rahab's faith in the God of Israel, whom she trusted to save her. Rahab's obedience in leaving the cord in the window was a requirement for the protection promised to her for aiding the spies. Now, church, I just want to say this, Brother Theron, while I'm here. And I want y'all to hear this good, because you need to get this part of the message to understand the ending. The spies told Rahab, yes, we'll protect your house, we'll treat you kindly, we'll save you. But you need to tie this red cord of redemption. You need to put that in your window. Now, church, Jericho is going to be destroyed. But Brother Theron, everybody that's in Rahab's house is going to be saved. But Rahab has some requirements of obedience. She's got to put the cord in the window. Sister Body, I stop to tell you this. When it comes to salvation, God has never given us multiple ways to be saved. Never. God told Noah to build an ark. Everybody in the ark was saved. Everybody outside the ark, Brother Scott, was not saved. If you're going to be saved, when Israel invades and destroys Jericho, you better be in Rahab's house. Salvation has never been on my terms the way I choose it to be. Salvation is only in Rahab's house, but she's got to put that cord of redemption in the window. She has a responsibility to do it God's way. Just know that salvation has never been afforded to us on our terms, and there has never been multiple ways to be saved. Interestingly enough, second, in verses 18 and 19, all of Rahab's family needs to be gathered in her house to be rescued. And I tell you something else. If you wanted to be saved when Noah and the flood happened, you better be in the house, the ark that Noah built. All of Rahab's family had to be in the house. They need to be gathered in her house to be rescued. There is no salvation outside of her house. Third, in verse 20, do not tell anyone why they were there. Rahab agrees to the terms and ties the scarlet cord to her window. The spies hide in the hills for 3 days and then returned to the camp, telling Joshua all that happened. Church, notice in verse 24, that this is confirmation to Joshua and the people. Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. And also, all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Now, Heartland, listen. There is a reason why this historical event is recorded for us this morning. It didn't happen by osmosis. Remember in Romans 15:4 that the Apostle Paul told us that what was written in former days was written for our instruction and so that we would have endurance and encouragement. So, church, what is the message for us from this account of Rahab? What's the application for us? There are a few applications from our God that God is proclaiming to us. First, we see God creating faith. God, church, was already doing his work, striking fear in the hearts of the land's inhabitants. We see God's fame, Brother Scott, spreading despite the actions of Israel. The people knew about what God had done and for his own glory against Egypt and the other nations. The Exodus, listen, the Exodus was intended to be a global story that created faith in those who heard. In this, church, we are seeing God intentionally bringing salvation to the Gentiles. I want y'all to get this part of the message. God is intentionally bringing salvation to the Gentiles. God did not need to spy out the land. God didn't need to do that. God was going to fight for the people and give them victory. But God, listen, is going to show the world a picture of how he will redeem people, even the Gentiles. Second, anybody can have faith, regardless of the depth of their sinfulness or background. Listen, people tell me, Brother Ed, I just don't know. You know, I've lived a life and I've had some things happen and I just don't feel like I'm worthy. Well, I stopped to tell you that Rahab is a Gentile. She's not even one of God's people. Doomed for destruction, but was saved from the wrath to come. She is doomed as a Canaanite because that nation is deserving destruction. She is doomed as a prostitute because of her own personal sins. Church, listen, there is nothing about Rahab that is worthy of saving. She's not an Israelite. She lives in a wicked land. She's a wicked person. But she has something, Brother Scott, that is necessary for salvation. She does not have good works, but she has faith. Heartland, listen. If God, write this down. If God will save Rahab, then anybody can be saved. No one is beyond God's love, concern, or reach. It does not matter who you are or what you have done. You can be saved by faith. Yet, even more amazing is that her name, Brother Scott, is emblazoned as part of the faithful. Not only is she listed in Hebrews 11 for her faith, but she's also listed as the part of the family line in Matthew 1:5 that leads to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, think about this. She, Rahab, is going to marry someone in Israel, and they are going to have children, and their children will have children until we get all the way down through time that one of her descendants is going to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't tell me what God won't do if you have faith. Rahab becomes fully included in the nation of Israel. Her sinfulness is washed away. Her profession is washed away. She has given church a whole new life through the salvation that God brought to Jericho. Finally, we see that faith will be necessary for salvation. James tells us that Rahab is a model of necessary faith. Now, this is, again, look at her background before you start talking about what God won't do and who should be and who shouldn't be excluded or included in the kingdom. In James chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, listen to this, church. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Church, Rahab's faith is amazing and represents the faith needed for salvation. First, she knows and acknowledges that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. Second, she asks for salvation from the coming judgment. Third, she forfeits, listen, she forfeits her own earthly citizenship, rescuing these men rather than obey the authorities of Jericho. Finally, she acts on her faith. She protects the spies, church, at great personal risk. She puts the scarlet cord in the window, as she was instructed to do. And she does not tell the authorities about these men and helps them escape. Church, everything Rahab does is her acting on her faith. This is the picture, listen, of true saving, redeeming faith. Church, listen, because I want you to get this. Faith acknowledges the Lord and submits to his requirements. Rahab knows God is going to win, and she wants to belong to the winning side. Thus, her name is set for eternity. Listen. Next, to Abraham's name. This is the prostitute. Her name is set for eternity next to Abraham, who God told him that all nations of the earth are going to be blessed through your seed. That's Jesus. Rahab's faith is a model in the book of James. Can you believe that, Rahab? Can I tell you something this morning as we stop? Our name, your name, my name can also be set for eternity by having the same faith as Rahab. Our God created faith to those who will hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. He did that through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. Our God has brought salvation to all people without regard for your background and or culture. More importantly, our God has brought salvation to all people without regard for the degree of your sins. If Rahab, a prostitute, a worldly person of Jericho, can receive salvation for her faith, so can you. If you're here this morning and you've never put Christ on in baptism, my encouragement to you is have Rahab's faith by acknowledging that the Lord is God who rules over all creation, and give your life to God's will and God's direction. Seek God's salvation and do all that God asks. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so you also can become part of God's family. Now, I will tell you, Brother Booker, this as well. Just like God had one way to be saved with Noah, that was the ark. God had one way to be saved. If you wanted to be saved, you needed to be in Rahab's house. There's never been any sense anywhere in Scripture where you can be saved the way you want to in the house that you choose. It's not there. And if somebody told you, Sister Elise, that you can be saved by going to the church of your choice, they are a lie, they are a devil's lie, and you have never read it in the Bible. God requires us to do what he instructs us to do to be saved. But you got to have Rahab's faith. Jesus himself told Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to build my church. My church. Personal pronoun denoting ownership. It belongs to Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Singular. That happened on the day of Pentecost. Happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts verse 30, by 36 through 38. They preached the first gospel sermon. They asked Peter, Peter, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church, singular. And then in verse 41, a little later on, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. You want to be in the church that Jesus built. There is no such thing. God has never given us ways to be saved the way we want to. And God has never given us multiple ways to be saved, but you got to have Rahab's faith. Let God add you to the church. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved other than Jesus. God adds you to the church that's in the Bible. Or if you're here this morning and you know that you've been living a life that's ragged as a can of kraut, stop it. Have the faith of Rahab. God will bless you too. God said in his words that if you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive. Heartland, listen. What we want to do is be kind to people, tell them the truth. But I don't want anybody to think that any church is the same church. God has never given us multiple ways of salvation. You won't read it in the Bible anywhere. From the Old Testament to the middle of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's just not there. Jesus built his church. And that's the only church where salvation is going to be available. If somebody's taught you different, I encourage you to step out and trust God. Have the faith of Rahab so that you can be added to the church that's in the Bible. And either way, if you do need to respond to God's invitation, we bid you to do so as we close out the preaching portion of our worship.